Thank you, Ensemble, for the song, and Calvary has covered it all. When Jesus died on that cross, he didn't make a down payment. I said he didn't make a down payment, and you had to make some installments to be saved. It was all paid for once for all sins, past, present, and future. Matter of fact, everybody in this building this morning, all of your sins were in the future when Jesus died. And he looked down through the eons of time and saw all of your sins and said, you know what, I'm still going to pay for them. As rotten and as terrible as we've been, he still was willing to die for our sins. Praise God. If you've trusted the Lord, we'll never have to face that day of judgment for our sins because Jesus has already faced it for us on the cross. And it's already been judged once for all. Praise the Lord. Don't you like that truth? I love it. And when I found out you could be saved and know it forever, and then once Jesus came in, he was there forever, I went crazy. To realize that the truth of the Scripture is that once you're saved forever. That's the reason the Scripture terms it saved to the uttermost. No excuses, no exceptions, saved forever. Say, preacher, are you happy that you're saved? Listen, I tell you one thing, I'm excited. You say, are you excited about the day and times that we live? Not necessarily as much as that as I'm excited about the day and times that I will see one day when I spend time and meet the Lord face to face. Take your Bible and join me in the book of Psalms, if you would please. Psalm chapter 86 is where we're going to be for the message this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse number 7, and we're going to read down through verse number 12. Psalm chapter 86. Psalm chapter number 86, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 7. While you're looking there, let's go ahead and stand together. I'll give you just a few moments to find your place. in Psalm chapter number 86. Now let me give you just a quick background here. Psalm chapter 86 is basically a prayer that David is praying before the Lord. Now he gets pretty bold in this prayer, but he makes a statement that I want to focus in on for the message this morning, because it's so important to us here this morning that we do the same thing that David prayed that God would do in his heart. Begin reading, if you would, with me. Follow along silently as I read aloud, beginning in verse number 7. He said, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." He said, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name." Now you need to underline or score that statement in your Bible, because that is the basis for what the message is about this morning. Everything that we're to do is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and bring glory to God Almighty. He says and shall glorify thy name, verse 10, "For thou art great." I would agree with that, wouldn't you? I'd say amen right there. He says, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." Now verse number 11 is our text verse. He says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." Now here's the phrase I want you to underline, because here's the basis of the message. He said, "Unite my heart. Unite my heart to fear thy name." He said, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will," oh, here it is again, "glorify thy name forever." But he says in verse number 12, he says, "I'll praise thee, O Lord, with all my heart and glorify thy name forever with all my heart," as long as my heart is in unity, as long as I have a unified heart. Now think about this for just a moment. David said, it's going to be impossible for me to bring the worship and glory and praise and serve the Lord and reverence the Lord like I need to, unless my heart is united toward and focused in one central area and toward one central object. And so I want to take that this morning and have you think about this. Either unite or fight. Because if you do not unite your heart and get your focus on one central object that God says that we're to focus on, you're going to fight the rest of your life if you don't unite. And he said, the thing we've got to unite is the heart. The heart. Father, bless us now. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning. Open our heart and mind, we pray. And teach us, Spirit of God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. David is the writer of this great psalm. And David was a very melancholy individual. And many, many times we find in Scripture where he would pray and he would just unload his heart and unload how he felt to the Lord about a lot of subjects, and a lot of times he'd unload how he felt about his enemies. And a lot of times he would unload to the Lord and say, "Lord, this is how I feel. Do something in my heart and in my life." Well, David, the writer here of this psalm and in this prayer, was influenced by the Spirit of God. And he acknowledged a truth, church, this morning that we need to understand, that we must all acknowledge, and that truth is, in order to properly and efficiently worship our God, to reverence the Lord, to praise the Lord, to serve the Lord, to give to the Lord, to pray to the Lord, our heart is going to have to be unified completely. Now, let me give you a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about here. The word unity, or the word unite, means to join in allegiance. It means to cause all affections to join together in order to delight, and listen, toward the same object. For instance, see this flag right here? This flag represents the United States of America. Each one of those stars represents a state. There are 50 of them on that flag. Although they are separate stars and separate entities, they have united, they have focused, all 50 states have focused on one thing and united under that one goal and that one object, and that is freedom. That is freedom to worship. That is freedom to speak. That is freedom as our forefathers have laid out in the Constitution, by the way, which some people are trying to destroy today. They're trying to bring the United States into division. That flag represents something. It represents a united state of America. And by the way, it's the unity of those states that makes the U.S. great. Because most countries around the world are not united. They are divided. And that usually causes their downfall. Well, the object of our text today is not the United States of America, even though I love America, don't you? But he says if we're going to unite toward one object, if we're going to unite under one cause, he says we're going to have an allegiance. We're going to have to take all the affections of the heart and focus them toward one purpose and one purpose only, folks. And let me tell you something, I will break some news to you. The reason that you were created was not for yourself. The reason that you were created was not to find out how much money you can earn and how many possessions that you can have. The reason that you were created was to glorify your Creator, to love Him, to reverence Him. Oh, by the way, to serve Him. To show your affection toward Him. You say, preacher, what's wrong with churches in America today? What's wrong with the world today? What's wrong with Christians today? They have divided interests. They're not united. Did you notice in our text, David said, Father, he said, the only way that I can glorify, the only way that I can praise you and serve you and be what you want me to be is if you unite my heart, if you bring all my affections and focus them toward one purpose. Now, folks, you know, as a Christian this morning, if you're a child of God, that ought to stir you because you're going to face your God one day. You're going to be judged according to your works done in this body. And you know what? We're going to be judged according to our affections and whether our heart was united toward that one cause, and that was to bring glory to the Lord God. You see, God in heaven desires the center of our attention to be toward Him, not toward us, not toward other things. He longs to be praised. He longs to be worshipped. He longs to be served. He longs to be reverenced. You see, we serve a great God, a mighty God. That's who He is. And He demands that from us. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you today, God's getting shortchanged. Because, listen, the majority of people, even those who call themselves Christians, are not glorifying the Lord. I wonder how many people in this auditorium this morning, when you woke up, I wonder how many people woke up this morning and said, glory to God, I'm alive. Oh, by the way, folks, do you know what? You need to take a deep breath, because when you do that, you're breathing His air. You see, most of us didn't wake up this morning and glorify God and say, glory to God, I'm alive. Most of us didn't wake up this morning in a cardboard box and say, boy, you know what? God's not very good to me. I'm living in a cardboard box. But you know what? You ought to thank God, even if you are living in a cardboard box, because you know 2/3 of the world doesn't have anything. You see, most of us, we've lost our edge when it comes to glorifying God, when it comes to praising God and being thankful. We've become ingrates. You say, why, preacher? Because our heart's not united. It's not focused. It's not pinpointed. There's no allegiance to the one cause for which we were created and the one cause why we're here. I don't think God's asking too much, do you, to desire men to serve Him? I don't think God's asking too much for men to reverence Him and worship for Him and give to Him so that the gospel can be propagated across the world so that people can be saved. I don't think that's asking too much. Last time I checked, He is feeding you, right? He's clothing you. He's housing you. Remember I said, we're breathing His air. You're existing on His earth. You see, everything about what we are came to us because we serve a good God, because He is a divine, a holy, a loving God. And thank God he's a long-suffering God. You see, I don't think God's being unreasonable. But we know that there's a power at work against unity. You hear me? There's a power at work in opposition against a unified heart. That power is being fueled and sponsored and supported by evil forces. Now, here's what's working against a unified heart and unity within the house of God and the people of God. It's called division. And the scripture says a house divided cannot stand. And so the support, the sponsorship, the finances, and everything that's going in to power division comes from one source and one source only, and that is of Satan himself. Because listen, folks, if he can divide your heart and divide your interest, you will never glorify your Creator. You will never serve God like you ought to, and you will certainly never give to your God like we ought to. So his desire is to divide. And by the way, he's very sly and knows exactly how to divide the heart. You see, what he does is he slowly inoculates us with things such as pride, arrogance, entitlement. Oh boy, that one stepped right on everybody's toes, didn't it? How many times have you heard people say, well, I deserve. Well, folks, listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you as a preacher of the gospel. Let me tell you what we all deserve. Hell. And if God gave us what we actually deserve, we'd all die and go to hell forever and ever. The only reason that we even have a place in heaven was because of the love of God. And the God, there's a God in heaven that cared for us, was long-suffering. But Satan inoculates with pride and arrogance and entitlement, covetousness, self, lusts, vices, money, success, independence. He inoculates us with those things. You know why? Because those things cause division. Those things are anti-unity. You see, the goal of Satan is to distract. Distract from what? Distract from the very thing he refused to give his God. And by the way, Lucifer, the Father in heaven, Jehovah God, is his God. And still rules over him. But the very thing that he refused to do, and that was to glorify God, is what got him kicked out of heaven. Because he wouldn't glorify God. And by the way, he don't want you glorifying him either. So how does he do it? He divides. He divides our interests. You see, he wants to distract. He wants to cause people to be disillusioned. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What's the one thing, if you were the devil, and some of you probably think I am, but anyway, but you'd say, preacher, if you were the devil, I tell you what, being in sinful flesh, I can act more like the devil than I can God. So what I'm saying is, you say, if you were the devil, what would you do to confuse people and divide their interests? Well, the first thing I would do is take a look at the very thing that God said that he put above his name, and that's his word. So if I could confuse people by creating 200 different versions of what is the so-called word of God, then you know what I could do? I can divide people. And so therefore, if I've got their heart and their mind divided, how can they glorify God? You see, God said his word is forever settled in heaven. And by the way, I have it right there. So you do, what is it? It's called the King James Authorized Version. Amen. I'll just say amen right there. Now listen, what is he trying to do? He's trying to distract. He's trying to cause disillusionment. Listen, he's trying to discourage. And there's a lot of discouraged people here this morning. You know why? Because I can look on your face and tell you are. Because there's no smile. Your joy is gone. You're discouraged. You say, what are they discouraged at, preacher? Because somewhere along the line, Satan's gotten in your ear, and he said, you know what? You can't live this Christian life thing. This is too hard. Well, let me say this to you. Do you know God's never going to, first of all, he's not going to save you to do something that doesn't empower you to do. And Satan's going to try to convince you this is too difficult. I can't do this. Can I tell you that you can if you have a unified heart? You can do it if your heart, as David prayed, unite my heart. Take all of my affections, take all of my desires, and focus them toward one object. And it's our Creator. It's our Savior. He said, you do that. He said, you can praise God. You can glorify God. But there's a force at work against the unity of the heart. Many have tried and failed to unite the heart, and Satan's quick to remind you, oh, see, I told you you couldn't do this. Told you couldn't. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to think about, and I'll move on. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. Remember Jesus speaking here as he was teaching his disciples. He said, no man can serve two masters. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Because if you try to serve two masters, guess what that is? That's divided interests. Therefore, you cannot give either one the praise and glory that they deserve as a master. He said, so you can't serve God and mammon. James spoke in James chapter 1, verse number 8. He said, a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. You know a double-minded man? That's a man of division. That's a person with a divided interest. Now, folks, listen to me. This isn't rocket science this morning. This is an old tactic of division that's been used since day one. Now, listen, do you understand how Lucifer went about dividing Adam and Eve from God? What was the very thing that he used? He used deception, didn't he? He used deception, which then got them distracted, which then they became disillusioned, then they became discouraged, and then they got kicked out. You see, what I'm saying this morning is it's the same tactic that's used against us this morning. David understood it because he was a prey to it. He understood what a divided heart meant. Got him in a lot of trouble in his life. That's the reason he said, Lord, unite my heart. Bring it under one allegiance. Take all of my affections. Now let me say this. To sow, to unite, is to gather all the ingredients and to join them in harmony to create the desired product. What is God's desire for us? To bring glory to Him. That's His desired product. Now most of us are not fulfilling what we were created to do. And it's nothing more than the same thing, ladies, about taking all the ingredients to make a cake. Now, if I threw out all the ingredients of a cake and flour and baking powder and all this kind of stuff, I don't know, I don't bake cakes. I eat cakes, but I don't bake them. And I'm a professional eater. I'm professional at eating. Come on, Brother Combs, give me a witness right there. Okay? The donut man. Listen, he hasn't seen a donut that he hasn't fallen in love with for years. And they love you too. Particularly Shipley's. You see, what I'm saying is if I laid out all the ingredients of a cake here and I'd say, look at my cake. You're saying, that's not a cake, that's just parts of a cake. Well, wait a minute now. What if I take and pour all the ingredients in a bowl and mix them all up, put them in a pan, put them in the oven? You know what it turns out? It turns out why? Because they all are working toward one object. That's becoming a cake. But what if the flour said, no, I don't want to be a cake. I want to be flour. What if the baking soda said, no, I don't want to be a part of it. I want to be baking soda or salt or eggs or milk. Or what if all of them said, rebelled? Said, we will not become a cake. We're independent. We will be divided. Then guess what you get? You don't get the desired object, do you? You don't get the desired product. Now, folks, we laugh at that, but you know what some of us are doing? Because we've decided, you know what? We will not become a Christian like God desires. We will not become and get into the will of God as God desires. You see, it's like uniting players on a team for a common cause. Back in my younger days, I had coached some softball teams and even some baseball teams and stuff. And you know, it's sometimes kind of hard to get kids united. Because those of you who have ever played baseball before, you know what the thing about some of these kids, what they're looking at, they're not necessarily looking at the team effort. They're looking at their batting average. And you know what they want to do? They want to be put in a position for them to succeed. You know what the job of the coach is? The job of the coach is to unite a team. You see, it's like a song. When you unite all the parts of the song in order, guess what you get? You get harmony, right? What if the ensemble today up here, they all sang alto? You know what most of you would be doing? Most of you would be going. Why? It's just not right. Alto has its place. But once you take all the ingredients, all the parts of the music, and you filter them together, guess what you get? You get harmony. Everybody's like, yeah, I like that song. But you wouldn't be saying that. You wouldn't have gone, wonderful, glory to God, if they all sang alto and it sounded like... Some of you would have given the old stereotype, amen. Now listen, so for in order for us to fulfill the purpose for which we were created, and that is to fear the Lord, to praise Him, to serve Him, to recognize Him for who He is, then all the ingredients are going to have to go into one bowl. All the ingredients, all the affections, all the focus, all the attention is going to have to go in one bowl and let God take the mixer, put it to it. Can I say something? You can take all the ingredients and dump them in the bowl and don't mix anything up, and you're still going to have a hard time coming out with a cake. They all have to be blended. You see, I believe that we've already established this morning that the fact of the end result is that God just simply wants to be reverenced. He just simply wants to be reverenced. Go back, if you would, Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Let's look at a couple things to give you some thoughts this morning and let you go. Okay? Psalm 86, verse number 11. The first thing, listen, if we're going to have, as David prayed, have God unite our heart, the very first thing he says in verse number 11, what's the first word in your Bible? Does it say teach? All right, here it is. Here's the first thing. If we're going to have a heart that is unified and focused on serving our Creator and giving Him the glory He deserves, first of all, you have to be taught. You hear me? I said you got to be taught. When I was born as a child, you know, I did not come out of my mother's womb praising God. You say, oh, preacher, I did. My mom said, well, okay, mamas have a mama's heart, don't they? That she may have had that, she may have misinterpreted that cooing and crying as praising God. Mamas like to hear what they want to hear. Amen. It's okay, mamas. We're in church. You're getting tense on me now. You see, we have to be taught to glorify God. Because you know what? It's natural to glorify ourselves. I said it's natural to glorify ourselves. So we have to be taught to glorify God. And David said, Lord, if my heart's going to be united, you're going to have to teach me how to do it. You're going to have to teach me what I need to do. Several years ago, my wife and went to a bakery and she saw all of these, if you've ever been to these bakeries and see all these cakes and stuff they do, it's amazing what they can do. My wife years ago went into a bakery and she saw all of the different things that they were doing with cakes and the decorating and stuff. And she was so intrigued by all the different shapes and characters and things that they could do with a cake and decorating that she became intrigued that she enrolled in a cake decorating class. Now, before she enrolled in that cake decorating class, she didn't know anything about decorating cakes. Did you? No. Don't mess my story up. I didn't ask her before I said this. But what I'm saying is she didn't know anything about decorating cakes. So she went in this cake decorating class and they taught her how not only to make a nice, moist cake, but they taught her how to decorate a cake. You see, before she went in, she knew nothing about cake decorating. She had to be taught how to take all the ingredients and put them together and produce a nice, moist cake. She had to, listen, and by the way, I remember her making her own icing. Any of you ladies ever made your own icing? It's like pure sugar. I'll tell you one thing, you almost have a nervous breakdown watching it. Mix it. But she would make her own icing and stuff, but they taught her how to take all the ingredients and put them together in allegiance one another toward one common goal. But she had to be taught to do that. She didn't know how. But after she went to classes, you know what? She could not only make some good cakes, she could decorate some good cakes. Man, our kids have had cakes in all shapes and sizes. I mean, she's done characters and this and that, and I can't remember how all of them. I ate them all. I can't remember them. But I want to say, first of all, it all begins, a unified heart, a united heart, all begins at the beginning point, and that's salvation. Can't have a unified heart without Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, it all begins with salvation. You see, without salvation, you're not even going to have a desire for a unified heart. Without salvation, you're not going to have any knowledge of how to go about having a unified heart. Without salvation, you don't even have an advisor. And listen, remember I told you my wife went to these cake decorating classes? I don't know how many times, but I'm sure that there were several times she got to a point and she said, you know what, I'm not sure how to do this. She could pick up the phone and call the people that she went to class with and the people that taught her and say, listen, how do you make this kind of icing? How do you do this? And you know what? They would advise her. You know why she got the advice? Because she was in the class. They taught her how to do it, and so she had access to the advisor. You see, without salvation, you have no Holy Spirit to advise you. You have nothing inside you that drives you to unity of heart to even glorify God. It's the reason people come to church. They're miserable, particularly if they don't have the Lord. You see, it all starts with salvation. A united heart's got to start at that point. Then, number two, a united heart must stay with Scripture. It must stay with Scripture. So the first thing after we get saved, the Bible commands us to do, is to be baptized. Did you hear that? And not baptized by just anybody. It's baptized by the right authority. Ooh, boy, walking on eggshells now, preacher. That's all right. But I got proof that Jesus walked 40-plus miles to find one guy. You know who that guy was? It was John the Baptist. Why? Because he was the only one authorized by God to baptize. And Jesus went to the right authority. You see, what I'm saying this morning is a united heart, you've got to stay with Scripture. The first command after salvation is to be baptized. The next thing that we have to do is understand that there is a final authority of all practice, faith and practice in the Christian life. And that final authority is the Word of God. You've heard the old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. If the Word of God said it, folks, what else do we need? It doesn't matter what Dr. Duflunky says in his book, does it? It matters what God says in his book. So a united heart starts with salvation. It starts with coming to Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning and you know not Christ, it is impossible for you to do what I'm saying this morning unless you come to Jesus. But the united heart must stay with Scripture. That's the reason this morning it's important that you be under preaching as much as possible, that you be in and under good teaching of the Word of God as much as possible. You see, the light of the Word of God helps us put the ingredients together. Psalm 119, 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, works through the Spirit of God, and it helps us put the ingredients together. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Before my wife went to that cake baking class, that decorating class, she didn't know anything. And we had to get all that supplies. Those of you who have ever done that, you know those little things you roll it up in, and you put those little metal things on it, and you go, you seen them do that at the store? That ain't cheap, folks. You see, the thing about it is that the Holy Spirit and His Word helps us to put all the ingredients together. Now listen carefully. Let's say that you wanted to decorate a cake and you had all your ingredients there and you had them all laid out on the table. You have your cake right there. You say, man, I'm fired up. I'm going to decorate this cake. This is going to be the best one that I've ever done. And my wife went to the table there and she said, honey, watch me. I'm going to decorate this cake. And about that time, I pulled the plug on all the lights in the house. Total darkness. And she's going, what? I can't, where's my, honey, you need to cut the lights back on. I can't see. Well, you're going to have to try to put it all together this time without any light. Well, I can't. I can't see. You don't understand, listen folks, you understand that that's what it is when you try to live the Christian life outside the Word of God. You don't have any light. You're trying to put everything together and all the ingredients for the cake together without any light whatsoever. You can't see outside the Word of God. You see, The united heart starts with salvation. The united heart must stay with the Scripture. Oh, listen now. The united heart must separate from scorners. Can I read you, if you're right there in Psalm 86, turn with me to Psalm 1 for just a moment. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not. That means to separate, folks. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Oh, listen to this now. Nor sitteth in the seat or in the company of scorners. You see, if I'm going to have a unified heart, I'm going to have to separate from those who scorn the Scripture. All you people, that's all you are over at that church. You're just a one Bible church. All you believe is that God only gave His Word in one version for us in the English language. You're right. That's us. We don't believe in confusion, folks, and we don't believe in division either. You see, we're going to have to separate from scorners of Scripture. We're going to have to separate from scorners of those that mock the separated holy lifestyle that we're to live for Jesus Christ. And boy, I'll tell you one thing, people buckle under that pressure left and right, friends. I mean, boy, the scorners are out there saying, oh, you don't have to, you don't have to. Well, according to who? According to them, and yet the Lord says we're to be separated, consecrated unto Him. We got to separate from scorners of the Scripture. People who make fun of eternal security, and people who make fun that once you're saved and born into the family of God, that you are eternally saved. Listen, I serve the Lord because I'm saved, not to be saved. Separate from scorners of Scripture. Separate from scorners who scorn the separated lifestyle. Listen, we need to separate from scorners who scorn the Savior. How dare people say that the Lord on the cross only made a down payment? That when He said, it's finished, He didn't really mean that. Okay, well then tell me what He did mean. If He didn't mean it was totally and completely finished, you mean to tell me that we have to read between the lines, and when He said it's finished, it was only a down payment? We got to separate from scorners who say that Jesus, what He did on the cross, was not the total payment for sin. I said, first of all, you have to be taught. Listen now. Secondly, you have to give it some thought. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Philippians 4 real quick. Real quick. Run out of time, but we're going to get there. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Okay, we're still talking about, listen, we're either going to unite or you're going to fight the rest of your life. You're going to fight against the will of God because it's His will that we bring glory and honor to Him. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren. He's talking to believers in this particular case. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise. Stop. Isn't that one of the things that David said, Lord, unite my heart and you'll get my praise? He said, but you're going to have to teach me. And then he says, listen, we're going to have to put some thought into it because it says, now think on these things. I wonder how many of us came this morning, those of you that are Christians, I wonder how many came this morning and said, I'm thinking on these things. Or I wonder how many of this got up early this morning, cut the TV on, and we've watched all kinds of programs before we came to church, and that's what was on our mind. Oh, I got to hurry on because I put pause on whatever my show is. I got to get back to my show. You see, there's too many things occupying our minds when we come to church. Listen, it causes division. No wonder people don't make decisions in the house of God hardly anymore. Why? Because of divided interests. We're divided. Our minds divided. So we have to give it some thought. Hey, can I say, usually a recipe has an order in which the ingredients are to be mixed together. At least the ones that I found, they tell you to mix these ingredients first and mix this one and mix this one. And there's an order in which they have you put the ingredients and mix them together and then add them together. Can I say to you this morning, listen now, that just as there's ingredients that need to be mixed together in the right order to make a cake, and it's best to follow the instructions rather than trying to do it your own or wing it. Now guys, most of us when it comes to a recipe, we wing it. Hey, water's just as good as milk. If I ain't got milk, use water. I've done that before. Don't do that. Yet the Scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, bringing into captivity every thought, not some, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. You see, whenever anything that we do, as we think on these things, we're to decide, Lord, is my life pleasing to Thee? Am I living in line with the Bible? Are my associations, Lord, are they God-honoring? Are they approved of God? The things that I do daily, would I do them in the presence of Jesus Christ? So, oh, preacher, I wouldn't do some of the things that I've done, I wouldn't do in the presence of Christ. Surprise, you did. Because he's seen everything. Everything that you do in darkness, he's seen. You have done it in the presence of the Lord. You see, Christianity is a thinking religion. James 1:17 says, Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. We're to show our faith by our, you know what that requires? Thinking. You see, we've got to give it some thought. Thought requires attention. It requires focus. Thought demands effort on our part. You've heard me say this again. Many times I'll say it again. We want God to do everything, but we want to get the credit. We want God to put forth all the effort, but we want to get the reward for it. It doesn't work that way. You know what David said? Unite my heart, but you're going to have to be taught. You're going to have to give it some thought. And here's the last thing, and I'm done. With all this, go back to Psalm 86 and look at verse number 7. He said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. I said, you're going to have to be taught. You're going to have to give it some thought for a united heart. And here's the last thing. You're going to have to want to be caught up in it. You're going to want to be caught. You know, I've never understood a person who knows not Christ. They keep running from Him. When I was a little boy, and we used to play chase with girls, sometimes I didn't run very fast. Because I want to be caught. You see, I don't know why people are running from God. Why don't you just want to be caught? Hey, folks, I'm telling you, the life of a Christian will be the best life you've ever lived. You see, this morning you got to want to be saved. This morning you're going to have a united heart. You're going to have to want to praise God and worship Him and witness for Him. You're going to have to want God's Word and His plan. You're going to want to be caught up in worship. You're going to want to be caught up in serving, in praising, in giving, and witnessing. Let me finish and say this. David's prayer was for a unified heart. And he knew that the only source that he had to unite all of his affections, the only source that he had to unite everything in his life toward one object and all of his affections and all of his allegiance be toward that one object, he knew that God would be the only one that could do that work in him. But here's the conclusion. But he would have to want God to do it in him. He had to want to be caught. And that's the reason he said, Lord, in the day of my trouble, I will. He had to want to come. And this morning, the Word of God is true. David said, Lord, unite my heart. Most of us in here have a divided interest. That's the reason we fight at serving God. That's the reason some of you fought getting up and getting dressed this morning. Because something else was calling you. Divided interest. If Satan can divide your interest and can divide your heart, he will rob God of all the glory and praise that he deserves. But you know where it starts? It starts with salvation. You got to be taught. Then you have to give it some thought. You've got to think on the right things. Be in the right place. But then you have to want to be caught. You got to want it this morning. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be the Christian God designed you to be? Would you bow your heads this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian? I'm saved. No question about it. If I died, I'm going to heaven. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll raise my hand as a witness to it. All right? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Father, I ask you this morning, please, that you would move in this service and that you would convict where conviction needs to take place. Father, some in this congregation this morning were just recently saved. They just recently got the assurance of their salvation. And now they know that they've been born into the family of God. And I pray that you'd move in their heart this morning. Some, Lord, have been saved for a long time, but their interests have become divided. They don't have that united heart that David prayed for. And Lord, that's something that every Christian ought to pray for every day of our life. Would you unite our heart toward the one and central goal that was set from the beginning of time, that was to glorify our Father, glorify our Creator, glorify our God. Praise you, Lord, and give you the glory you deserve. But it's only going to come with a united heart, a heart in allegiance toward one object. And I realize, Lord, that people are going to have to be taught. People are going to have to, over the course of their Christian life and their process of growth, they're going to have to give it some thought. But this morning, my plea is, how many here actually want to be caught by the Spirit of God? How many actually want to be saved that couldn't raise their hand? How many actually wanted to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and a follower? That will be determined at this invitation. So please have your way. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking, I wonder if there might be one or two this morning that said, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. I've got some doubt about my eternal life, and would you please pray for me? I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. And I just have some unsettled feelings about it. I've had some uneasiness. Would you pray for me?" Nobody's looking but me. Would you signify that? Just slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you and you. Just slip it up and say, "Preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure. I'm going to heaven." God bless you. You can put your hands down. There's three. Who will join these three and say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, "Preacher, I'm already saved, but I've never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do." Can I say to you this morning that you have to be baptized? We believe, in according to the Scripture, you have to be baptized by the right authority, by immersion, by those that have the authority to preach the Word of God. And you'd say this morning, "Preacher, I'm Christian. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized according to the Scriptures after I got saved. Please pray for me. I know it's the right thing to do, and I need to obey God in that area." You'll never have a united heart until you obey God with the first thing that He commands us to do. And you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never been baptized after I got saved." I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. That's me. Just pray for me." God bless you and you and you. Good, good, good. Amen. God bless you. Who would join these four that said that, "Preacher, I'm not saved," or "I've already been saved but never been baptized"? You can put your hands down. All right? Anybody else? All right? Then let me ask you this. I wonder if there's Christians here this morning that would admit in a church service that, "Preacher, I've got divided interests. It's not that I want to. It's just that for the course of time, it's just happened in my life. I haven't been giving God the glory that He's deserved. I haven't been giving God the worship He's deserved when I come to church. Haven't been giving God the praise that He's deserved. And I've been captivated. My interests have been divided." You say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. I've got divided interests." Be honest. Be honest. Slip your hand way up high. Nobody's looking but me. Just slip it up. 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 All right? All right, all right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, my prayer goes forth today. I have no authority. All I can do is cry out to the one that does have authority, and the authority belongs at the throne and the feet of God. And, Father, you're the only person that has the authority to move this morning. You're the only person that has the authority to save. And yet, Lord, there were three people that raised their hand and said they needed Christ. There were four people, Lord, that raised their hand that said that they're Christian, they need to be baptized. Lord, let this morning be that morning. Lord, you sent them here on purpose. You sent them here for that reason this morning. Please, Lord, in order for them to have that united heart to glorify you and do your will, they must obey. Please, please, would you move in their heart this morning to obey you? And then, Lord, there were hands all over this auditorium that said they had divided interests, that they haven't been giving you the glory, the praise, the worship that you deserve. I pray that this morning, the first note of the invitation, the altars would be filled with people coming to make right that which is wrong this morning in their life. Please have your way, and we'll give all the glory and praise to you in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. Brother Shaddix, you begin to sing. Listen, as he sings this morning, this is your invitation. This is inviting you to come this morning. This is an invitation by God Almighty. Listen, if you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved," come. Come, we'll have somebody show you. Did you mean it? When you raised your hand this morning, did you mean it? Did you mean it? Some of you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. And I need to obey God." Listen, you come. You come. When you raised your hand, did you mean what you said? Did you really mean that you wanted to obey God and do what's right? Come on. Hey, God sent you this morning. Would you step out? Would you step out this morning and come and obey God? Come on. Come on. The altars are filled. The altars are filled. God's waiting on you. Listen, if you spoke to your heart about raising your hand, I pray for you. Would you respond this morning? God's calling. We're going to sing it through again. We'll be patient. We'll be patient. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity.